The book of Acts, I'd like to read a few verses here in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. I'd like to preach concerning the Philip and the eunuch. I'd like to begin reading in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So we see the Lord had spoken unto Philip, told Philip to go to a certain place, and he had a certain job for him to do. And I believe that's the way it happens. I believe when every one of us were saved by the grace of God, there was a certain person that the Lord had to preach the gospel to us, and we were gloriously saved by the grace of God. And this was the case here. And so the Lord spoke to him. He arose and he went toward the south. And then in verse 27 it said, He arose and went. The Lord spoke unto him and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said, now notice this again. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran. So in verse 29, it said the Spirit said, and in verse 30, and Philip ran. And may God grant us the grace, we that are saved by the grace of God, when the Spirit of God speaks to us, we need to respond immediately. He has something for us to do. We need to respond immediately. That's what Philip did. And I believe we can learn a great lesson here concerning his life. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? You know, there was a time in my life when I could not understand the Bible. I would come home on a Saturday night, and I'd sit down and I'd say, I'm going to read this Bible. And I'd sit down and I'd try to read that Bible, and I never understood a thing I was reading. And I'm sure you've probably done the same thing. Before you were saved, you'd sit down, you'd try to read the Bible, you'd say, well, I'm going to try to read this Bible through. I'm going to try to prove them that they're wrong. And so he said, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Every one of us that are saved tonight had somebody preach the gospel to us. We had somebody to tell us how to be saved by the grace of God. And that ought to encourage us to witness even more than what we do. Because if a person's going to be saved, they must hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice what he preached to him. And he said unto him, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And he desired Philip would come up and sit with him in the chariot and read to him and explain to him the scriptures. I went for 24 years of my life having no desire at all to go to church, to have no desire at all to be saved by the grace of God. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't want anything to do with church for 24 years of my life. But there come a time and there come a day in my life when I desired to be saved more than anything in the world. Had tried everything possibly, I guess, a man could try and do and so on in the world. And the world had nothing more to offer to me. And I wanted to be saved more than anything in the world. I wanted Jesus Christ in my life more than anything. And this is what happened here. And he said, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I wanted somebody to tell me how to be saved. I wanted somebody to tell me about Jesus Christ. I wanted a new life. I wanted a different life. I knew that the life that I was living was getting me nowhere. And I wanted Jesus Christ more than anything in the world. I desired to be saved. And I believe everybody that is saved by the grace of God, they desired to be saved. David came to me and said, Brother Jones, I want to be saved. And we prayed with him and read scriptures to him, and he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved, him and his girlfriend both. But I said, well, you just keep searching, and you keep reading the scriptures, and you just keep praying, and so on, and others were praying. But everybody that has ever been saved desired to be saved. The Lord doesn't force himself on anybody. He uses the Word of God. He uses the man of God. He uses the Spirit of God to convict us and show us the sinners that we are, that we were and are. And so he desired Philip that he'd come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. Now, I want to show you the passage of Scripture that he was using here. Back in the book of Isaiah. Back in the book of Isaiah. Look at chapter 53. And this is what the Lord used to convict this eunuch and to save his soul. In Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And there's no beauty that we should desire him. Now today you see a lot of these pictures of Jesus with real long hair. You know, very feminine looking person, no scars on his face, no bruises on his face. It says here, when we see him, there shall be no beauty that we should desire him. And the only way that I have ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ is by the eye of faith. And when I saw him, I didn't see him like that, like these pictures show. In fact, in the first place, he didn't have long hair. I don't believe he did at all. But he says here, there should be no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And every single one of us did that very thing. Before he started working with us, dealing with us, revealing himself to us as sinners, we saw him and we treated him the very same way. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Somebody had to pay for my sins. My sins had to be paid for. The penalty of my sins had to be paid for. And the penalty of my sins was hell. And Jesus paid the penalty of my sins. And he's laid on him the iniquity of us all. You're here tonight, you're lost without Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. He was bruised, as we see here. He was afflicted, as we see here. And it was all because of our sins. He says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. And so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare that his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And so, this is what Philip was preaching to this eunuch. He was preaching to him how that the Lord Jesus Christ went through all of the suffering that he went through. He never one time opened his mouth. Never one time. And he says the place of the scriptures which was read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened not his mouth. I can just see the Lord Jesus Christ going through everything that he went through. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. His life is taken from the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his very life that we might be saved. Tell you what, when I think of that, I have no trouble serving the Lord Jesus Christ at all. When I stop for a few moments to realize everything that the Lord Jesus Christ went through that I might be saved by the grace of God. And he says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. Do you have a hard time witnessing? Do you have a hard time talking to people about being saved? You know how you do it? Just talk to them about Jesus. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. Just tell them what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Tell them how that he died. Tell them how that he was buried. Tell them how that he arose again the third day for their justification. Just preach the gospel to them. And that's exactly what Philip did here. He preached to him how that Jesus Christ died, how that he went to the cross, and how that he was buried, and how that he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he arose again the third day for his justification. And that's exactly what he preached to him. And that's what we need. That's what the sinner needs to hear. He needs to hear the gospel. He needs to hear how Jesus Christ died and was buried and arose again. And so then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what the sinner needs to hear. He needs to hear about Jesus. And so that's what he did. He just preached Jesus to him. Now I want you to notice what happened. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Now, if just any amount of water would do, they wouldn't have had to go into this certain water, and he wouldn't have had to said a certain water. Baptism requires certain water, and it requires a certain amount of water. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Now notice that. And Philip said, number one, rule number one, and rule number two, and plan number three, and plan number four, and plan number five, and we got about 10 plans here that you got to go through. No, didn't say that, did he? Now notice. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Now look what was required before baptism. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ was required. Do you all see anything else that was required here? You say, "Well, I'm sure that he preached unto him repentance." I'm sure he probably did too. But he says here, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You cannot believe in the Son of God from the heart unless you've been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart, and you'll desire to be saved more than anything in the world, as he did. But he believed with all of his heart that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he arose again the third day. What are you waiting for? So, "Well, Brother Jones, I'm waiting for a bolt of lightning to hit me. I'm waiting for something to jump out of the sky and say, 'Okay, I'm going to save you.'" That wasn't it at all. He said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And the Lord has got to grant that repentance. He's got to grant that faith. He's got to grant that trust. But we see here that he simply believed that all that was required to be baptized and to be saved, first of all. And he believed with all of his heart, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And he went down and got a pitcher of water and brought it up and poured it on the head of the eunuch. Is that what it said? No. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he sprinkled him." No, didn't say that either, did it? "And he poured him." No, didn't say that. "And he baptized him." He immersed him. He put him all the way under the water. He buried him in that liquid grave. And that's what we're going to do here tonight. We're going to baptize them. We are not going to sprinkle them. We're not going to pour a pitcher of water on their head. Wouldn't that look silly of me up there in that baptistry with I don't know how many gallons of water with a glass of water here on the shelf and grabbing that glass of water and just pouring water on their head if they desired to be sprinkled or poured. Baptism simply pictures what saved us. It pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all three of these tonight are going to preach for the first time in their life. They are going to preach to you what saved them by the grace of God. They're going to picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it pictures. And that's what they're going to tell you tonight here as we baptize each one of them. They're picturing what saved them. Or what that's what they're doing. It's a picture. The water does not save them. The baptizing does not save them. The eunuch was already saved. Now he was identifying himself with God's people. And that's what baptism is. You are identifying yourself with God's people. You are identifying yourself here tonight with the Lord's church. You become a member of the Olmsted Baptist Church. What a privilege to be a member of the Lord's church. And so they both went down into it. You know, they said another place there, I believe in the book of Acts, it says they were baptizing in Enon because there was much water there. So baptism required much water. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And everybody here tonight is saved by the grace of God. That was the happiest time of my life when I was saved and when I followed the Lord in baptism. I never will forget it as long as I live. I love to tell when the Lord saved me. I'd go back to the place where the Lord saved me. I can't remember the date, but I can remember the day. I can remember the week. Went to a revival meeting all week long. And there was a family sitting right behind me, a young couple. And I always said that if I went to church and somebody started talking to me about being saved, I wouldn't go back anymore. Well, that girl sat there behind us, her and her husband and a couple kids. And the preacher preached, gave the invitation, and she reached over there and she said, "Don't you want to be saved?" You know, it made me mad as a hornet. So the next night, I came back. And I thought, well, I'll just move up a couple pews. Because everybody usually sits, you know, in the same pew. Unless visitors come and take their pew. So I moved up a couple pews. And service started, and I looked behind me, and there she was. And you wouldn't believe this, but we went all week long. I moved over to the other side after a couple more nights, and looked behind me, and there she was. Right up till Sunday morning, I got right up on the second pew, and the preacher preached, gave the invitation, and I didn't hardly wait till they got to the piano. And I shot out of there like a bullet. And the Lord had already saved me by the grace of God. When were you saved? Are you saved? Do you know in your heart when you die, you're going to heaven? You say, "I'll wait till I get there, and I'll begin to be too late." Do you know when you die, you're going to heaven? You say, "Well, preacher, I'm a member of a church." That isn't the question I ask you. When you die, do you know you're going to heaven? You say, "Brother Jones, I've been baptized." That's not the question I ask you. When you die, do you know you're going to heaven? Have you had a personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, "Brother Jones, I'm going to get that taken care of before I die." That's what I always said. I'll get that taken care of before I die. I'll tell you what, you don't have a promise of another day. You don't have a promise of another week. You don't have a promise of another month. The only promise you have is right now. That's it. Today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Are you saved? Do you know in your own heart that you've repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? If thou believest, thou mayest. Can you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins as this eunuch did? You say, yes, Brother Jones, I believe with all of my heart everything that Jesus Christ went through. And I'm sorry that that all of my sins that I've ever committed put Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. And I'm deeply sorry for that, and I repent of that, and I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior right now. I believe that with all of my heart. If thou believest, thou mayest.